Hi everybody, welcome to our Morning Devos, and happy June. It's June 1st. It's a new month, but we're continuing on with the book of 1 Samuel. And so today's passage is 1 Samuel chapter 10, and instead of reading the whole thing, we'll be reading verses 1 through 16. So again, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you, that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage. When you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, 'The donkeys that you went to seek are found. And now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys and is anxious about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go on from there farther and come to the oak of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand. After that you shall come to Gibeath Elohim, where there is a garrison of the Philistines. And there, as soon as you come to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with the harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them, prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now when these signs meet you, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I am coming down to you to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do." When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, "What has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" And a man of the place answered, "And who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" When he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. Saul's uncle said to him and to his servant, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To seek the donkeys." And when he saw that they were not to be found, he went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, "Please tell me what Samuel said to you." And Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found. But about the matter of the kingdom of which Samuel had spoken, he did not tell him anything." All right, this passage is a direct continuation of yesterday's in chapter 9. If you didn't read it or, you know, you forgot, just a quick recap. In chapter 9, we're introduced to a man named Saul, the son of Kish, a Benjaminite. God tells Samuel, the prophet, that Saul will be Israel's first king. And so Samuel meets Saul, they have a feast, and then now in chapter 10, Samuel pulls Saul aside for a private conversation. And as part of this conversation, he takes a flask of oil and anoints Saul as leader of Israel, who will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. Now keep in mind, if you've read yesterday's passage, you'll know that Saul had no idea this is going to even happen. In chapter 9, he's just a regular guy from the smallest clan of the smallest tribe of Israel, looking for his dad's donkeys, who have somehow gotten loose. He goes to meet Samuel not for any spiritual reasons, but only because he's heard that Samuel is a man of God, and so he's hoping that Samuel can help him find these lost donkeys. He is, in some ways, essentially going to God to find these donkeys. That somehow he meets Samuel. But somehow one thing leads to another, and now here he is, head covered in oil, and anointed by Samuel, the prophet, to become the very first king of Israel. And mind you, Saul knows that there has not been a king in Israel. And so for him to be called an anointed king, it's all the more confusing. The writer doesn't share Saul's response. Maybe he's just speechless, so there was nothing to record. But regardless, I think it's safe to assume that Saul is very confused. Whether it's because of that confusion or simply just because, after anointing Saul and declaring him as the one who will save Israel from their enemies, Samuel says, "And this shall be the sign to you, that the Lord has anointed you to be prince," meaning leader, "over his heritage." And then Samuel goes on for the next several verses describing that sign, which really is just a sequence of events. First, he'll meet two men by Rachel's tomb, who will tell him about his now-found donkeys. He'll then meet three men at the Oak of Tabor, who will give him two loaves of bread. Then in Gibeath Elohim, where the Philistines are, he'll meet a company of prophets, prophesying, and the Spirit of the Lord will fill him, and he'll prophesy with them. It's a lot of very specific things, and the thing is, it all happens. We read in verse 9 that when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. There are two things about this passage that I want to point out today. The first is that what God says will always come to pass. What God says will always come to pass. As we see what happened with Saul, when God says something, it will always happen. It'll always come to pass. There is no doubt or question about it. When God says something, it will happen. We see that all throughout Scripture, through the lives of men and women who have lived for God, and you can see it in your own life today. In our lives, we'll hear God speak to us. Sometimes it'll be very specific things, like what we see happen here with Saul and all these sequence of events. And other times, it'll be more general. But either way, when God speaks, it will come to pass. Second, when God moves, when he works, we will be changed. We read in this passage that the Spirit of God fills Saul. Or more accurately, it says it rushes upon Saul. I love that language just because it just gives this imagery of just being filled and like just very quickly, powerfully rushes upon Saul. And it says that he is then turned into another man. Or it also says he's given another heart. Saul encountered the work of God and he was changed. And we know that this is not only because it also says that, we know this not only because it also says that when all who knew him previously saw Saul filled with the Spirit and prophesying, they were confused. You know, they saw Saul doing this, prophesying, and they recognized that this wasn't the Saul that they had known. He was a changed man. And so again, my point is, when God works, we are changed. Now, I said both of these statements in a pretty matter-of-fact kind of way, that when God speaks, it will always come to pass, and that second, when God works, we will be changed. It's very matter-of-fact, but my question for us today is, do you believe it? Do you believe that when God says something, it will always come to pass exactly as he says? Do you believe that you, other people around you, circumstances, all of these things can and will change when God works? Maybe you do, or maybe there's a part of you that doesn't. Or maybe if you're very honest with yourself, you realize that you don't believe this at all. Maybe there are some seasons where you're able to more easily believe these things to be true. But maybe there are other seasons, maybe a season you're in right now, where you have a hard time believing it. Today, wherever you're at with this, I want to invite you to come before God honestly and openly. I also invite you to take a step of faith and trust that God will do as he promised. You know, if there's something that you feel like God has been speaking over your life, he's been saying to you, been trying to show you, to reveal to you, but you maybe you've been resistant or been having a hard time really believing it because maybe it seems really out there. Maybe it seems in your mind unbelievable. I want to invite you again to take a step of faith. Trust that God will do as he promised. And I invite you to also take action that allow him to do this work in you and respond to him. Because scripture shows us, and we can see in the lives around us, maybe in our own lives, that when God is working in this way, that he is bringing about change. Change in you, change in your circumstances. So let's take this faith, step of faith today, receive this invitation, and join in his promise, his work. With that, let me pray to close us out. Lord God, we see in this passage today how you speak, and that when you speak, it comes to pass. it happens exactly as you say it will. And Lord, that when you work in the lives of your people, like we saw in Saul, you change people from the inside out. You transform them, make them a new person. And God, we pray, Lord, that we would believe this to be true, that we would respond knowing it to be true. And Lord, maybe some of us listening today, maybe we feel hesitant about this. Maybe we're unsure. We have a hard time fully believing it. But Lord, I believe that you are speaking to us because you're speaking to us each day. And Lord, I believe that you are longing to do it. You want to do a work in us. And so, Father, I just ask that today you would help us to take a step of faith. Take a step towards you and respond to what you're saying. Allow you to work in our hearts, believing that you will move powerfully, and therefore everything you say, everything you've promised will come to be, and you will do a work in us and around us, transforming us and our situations according to your will. So Lord, we thank you for these reminders today. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.